Randomly nodded.
I want a way to track down the tribulation, considering your ability to sense mana.
Ha! Lyra grinned and put her hands on her hips. That's amazing, because the reason I came to talk to you is because I managed to finally figure out the base of Kim'lath.
What? Really? You know where it is right now?
Suddenly, Randomly's gaze was sharp. His lip began to curl up. His sense of helplessness and listlessness instantly vanished.
Then lead on. Let's find this bastard and cut it to pieces.
Lyra's expression fell. After considering it for several seconds, she shook her head, golden hair swaying around her face. There's a problem with that. The tribulation left mana marks on both of us in order to track us. Perhaps on others, too. I haven't had the time to check yet. I only discovered yours during your fight against the squads. So long as those are inside of us, it will likely flee immediately if we approach. I can destroy mine by mobilizing my mana, but I don't think I'll be able to reach into your mana pool.
Lyra's wide eyes looked helpless.
Considering your, we will need to make some preparations either way.
Just like how quickly he felt anticipation, the cold waters of reality smothered his optimism. He waved a hand. You don't need to sugarcoat it. Without me learning how to manipulate my mana like you, we won't be able to approach. It sucks, but I know I'm not good at everything. I just mostly had a head start. Forcing a breath out through his nose, Randomly chased away all the bad emotions. And since that doesn't seem likely, I'd really like you to handle the situation. With your abilities, and if you take the time to gather a small team from Donnington, I think you can easily overcome the tribulation. I fought it once. It can copy the stats and skills of someone, but it can't. Why are you looking at me like that?
You,
Lyra whispered.
Want me to handle the situation?
Randomly scratched the back of his head awkwardly. Even now, some inner anxiety wanted him to take back what he said and try to brute force his way through the issue himself. Weirdly, the threat of death by rushing into a situation he wasn't prepared for was less intimidating than sitting back and waiting for another to accomplish a task. That powerlessness was the stuff of Randomly's nightmares. But he knew he couldn't handle everything himself. Or even if I don't know it yet, I'm learning it, Randomly thought. Donnington is going to catch up with me one day, and that's the best thing that can happen on Earth. These people can handle danger. Aren't you the best mage in Donnington? Randomly finally said after a long silence. A wide and stunning smile bloomed on Lyra's face. She blushed and coughed several times into her hand.
Well, I'm very pleased to hear you say that, but to be honest, I'm a little nervous about it, and to be fair, the system is a strange place. You might not have learned how to manipulate mana, but you might soon. So perhaps we could train together for a bit?
Randomly nodded slowly. He didn't want to bring the tribulation's attention up toward where Ace and Sydney might be. And Shaul didn't need him for another 28 days. His emerald eyes sharpened. Besides, hopefully I can show up with a completely revolutionized capability. Seeing Shaul's impressed face would be pretty nice. In his chest, the fiery and icy energy started to rotate through his body, as though nudging him forward.
Actually, Lyra said, her normal smug smile returning. This is good timing. Daniel and Mrs. Hamilton are working on trying to find ways to improve the base skills for the squad members. They have some ideas, but need someone to test it out before they implement it across the board. Scale up the difficulty, and you've got yourself an old-fashioned Randomly and Lyra power-up montage.
After a long moment, Randomly rolled his eyes in spite of himself. Especially after his furious display the previous day, he realized how valuable it was that this girl, whatever they were to each other, just treated him like a person, rather than some protective deity. Dealing with her, it felt as though some of the tension he carried with him everywhere was finally dispersing. So, we'd be glorified guinea pigs, Randomly said wryly. Why do you seem so happy about it?
Lyra blushed and raised her hands to her cheeks. Then she twisted away from him. No reason. Oh, and Daniel has some new options from the shop. One of them is a potion that blocks you from seeing notifications for a certain amount of time. Mrs. Hamilton speculated that growth might be faster without distractions.
Randomly considered that. If it blocked all notifications, there was some danger that it would prevent him from realizing another judgment was coming. But Randidly believed and hoped it would take some time for that to happen. He would also miss out on getting a jump on new path availabilities, but as he wouldn't be spending path points, because it would be better not to check the skill growth, he could wait until after. Randidly decided that if he was going to do it, it was better to do it all the way. No notifications for a week to start. Hopefully that would give him time to lose some of his bad habits and give him some indications of the effectiveness of the strategy. After all, even if it didn't work, he would have only wasted a week. And in terms of possible notifications that he would miss, honestly, what was the worst that could happen? Nodding, Randidly held out his hand. All right, count me in. Lyra shook it. Her hand was small and slightly sweaty. Randidly pressed his eyes closed. We can do this. If we both improve. She might be young, but I wouldn't mind entrusting Donnyton's safety to this new, determined Lyra. Devon casually discussed some of the new training changes with his squad, going over the parts that he believed were most important for their improvement. He also indicated specific areas of focus for each squad member. They studiously marked down what he was saying, and then looked up as he stopped speaking. Devon frowned, trying to follow a figure through the crowd, his eyes tracking after very distinctive ears.
What is it?
One of his squad members asked. Shaking his head, Devon said, I think we brought a furry back with us from Franksburg. I swear I just saw a bunny walking around. Chapter 25. Razor Fleetfoot hopped to and fro, feeling quite timid and overwhelmed. The elders had tasked him, one of their brightest young warriors, with a very specific and possibly dangerous mission. He followed their instructions, but to his surprise, nothing of what he found was what he was told to expect. Everyone here just seemed to be rushing around in every which direction. Seeing a friendly-looking female, Razor hopped over to her.
Excuse me.
The female looked him up and down, sighed, and looked to her clipboard.
Are you still looking for housing?
No.
Well, then I can't help you.
The clipboard returned to her side and she walked away, calling for any people from Franksburg in need of housing. Razor tried the same thing with three more people, and every time he was given a conflicting answer. He simply wanted to find someone in charge of this village. First, he was told to find the scary-looking woman with her hair up in a bun. This was rather useless advice, because Razor didn't rightly know what having hair up in a bun meant. Second, he was told to find a classer who would point him in the right direction. Razor assumed a classer was someone with a class, but he had no idea how to tell whether people had classes. Did this village have a way to see that? He filed that information away for later. The third piece of advice pointed him towards a low, squat building from which a lot of banging and screeching emanated. Razor's sensitive ears were already twitching, but he had a mission. He steadied his resolve and made his way towards the strange building, trying his best to ignore the horrible noise. As the light of dawn filtered through the window, Sam smashed downwards with his hammer, finishing the iron breastplate. As he did so, some of the light in the air seemed to stiffen and congeal, then settle onto the armor. For a second it glowed, then faded, leaving nothing but the dull sheen of metal. Annoyed because of his new sleeping habits, though somewhat mollified by the fact his need for sleep was drastically decreased, Sam examined the armor. Quality iron breastplate, level 25, endurance plus 3, resistance plus 2, health plus 30. Possesses the attribute Dawn Touched 1. Dawn Touched 1. Wearer has regeneration increased by 10 per hour for health and 1 per minute for stamina. Sam's face twitched, stuck somewhere between a smile and a frown. Sure, the extra attribute was useful. And if he could manage to mass-produce this, giving almost everyone an extra 3 endurance, 2 resistance, and 30 health, the strength of the average squad member would rise. It was simply made, with common ingredients as well, which meant it was certainly possible to mass-produce. The problem was the results from most of the other smiths would have only 2 endurance, no resist, and 20 health. His class conferred on him some definite advantages, which made it irksome that he therefore wanted to make every piece of armor. There simply wasn't enough time, especially because he wanted to focus on bone shaping, or his other new skill. Extremely carefully, Sam removed a rune-covered needle they'd purchased with quite a bit of soul points, and a book from their newly acquired library, from his interspatial ring. Within the book were the basics of engraving. Still moving with the utmost cautiousness, Sam produced a small hammer and began to etch a rune onto the breastplate. Not only did the shape of the rune have to match almost exactly, but he had to insert mana into the needle and let it flow into the lines he carved. The amount wasn't even, but was based on how straight the line was. The straight portions required very little mana to sustain. A small curve would require additional mana, adding depth to the rune. An abrupt twist was like a deep well of mana. Sam sweated bullets, pushing more and more mana into the line. The needle needed to remain near the breastplate constantly because it was sewing the mana into the correct shape, and the connection could not be broken, or it would all go to waste. Sam intermittently needed to set down the hammer and raise a mana potion to his lips. Even the small breaks weakened the connection, lowering the quality of the engraved rune. But Sam simply had no choice. He didn't have a large enough mana pool to do an entire rune yet. Luckily, he finished without a hitch and leaned back. From the book Sam was able to purchase, he'd learned three runes, which translated roughly as bear, fish, and dragonfly. Sam's current attempt was on a bear rune, which he now examined. Engraving of bear, 19%. P. When struck, this armor will have a small chance of resisting stunning and knockback effects. Sam spat in the corner, his mood sour, especially after he clicked on the P. After all, he had never seen the rarity, P. Turns out it stood for poor. He had just taken a quality breastplate and practically scratched the word poor onto it. Adding to his foul mood, there was a knock at the door. What? Sam spat. One of his assistants poked his head through.
Someone here to see you?
Oh, Mrs. Northwind, Sam said, his expression brightening. They had taken to having a morning walk every day, or at least they had before this most recent trouble in the village. Perhaps she wanted to start that tradition up again.
No,
the assistant seemed to squirm.
It's, a talking rabbit.
Sam laughed, slapping his knee. Who knew this guy was such a jokester? Normally he would hit him with a wooden 2x4 for such a flippant comment, but violence in front of Regina was a bit... Well, let's not keep her waiting then.
No, I think the rabbit is male,
the assistant interjected anxiously. Sam froze, taking a long look at the man. He was being serious.
Setting aside magic for now, Mrs. Hamilton said, glancing at Lyra. We will start with him, but you'll be going through a similar regimen, albeit with different emphasis, and during portions, you will train together. For you, randomly, the training will be split into four areas: physical fitness, mana skills, footwork, and perception. Randomly, you already have skills for all four of these, correct?
Randomly nodded.
Then we begin immediately. You have taken a sip of the potion?
Randomly nodded again.
The goal is to always be working two of the four areas at once. We shall start with physical fitness and footwork. Please put on the jacket.
As well as her notes, Mrs. Hamilton had brought over a wagon pulled by a very large and very well-behaved wolverine. Even as she spoke to Randedly, the wolverine nosed towards Mrs. Hamilton's pockets, looking for treats. Exasperated, she removed a banana from her spatial ring, which the wolverine lumbered over to and began to eat with gusto. On the wagon was a sizable-looking vest. Randedly picked it up and his eyebrows rose. This vest was likely around 200 pounds. Although he probably wouldn't notice the extra weight initially, especially after carrying around a spear for so long that was just over 250, it would begin to burden him as the exercises dragged on for a while. Putting on the jacket, Randedly turned back to Mrs. Hamilton, who was now looking at Lyra.
Although we eventually plan on setting up a mechanical apparatus, the details are still being hammered out. Actually, we are starting with a joint training session. Consider it a little competition. Miss Silver will be handling the footwork portion of this activity.
With a snap of Lyra's fingers, 12 glowing bluebirds came into being. They began to fly in lazy circles, crisscrossing one another, the group of them drifting towards Randedly.
I'm not going to hold back, Lyra said directly to Randedly. With how low your resistance is, I wouldn't recommend letting them touch you.
Randedly grinned back at her. If you held back, it wouldn't be effective training. Depressed and thoroughly shaken, Razor Fleetfoot stumbled away from the incredibly loud building run by the incredibly loud and angry hairless male. Sighing, Razor ignored the weird looks everyone kept giving him and sought solace near a strange tree with burning leaves next to a watchtower. Feeling profoundly tired, he sat under it and leaned against it. Why were things so different than what the elders anticipated? It was all just so... Abruptly, Razor felt like the world was swaying softly around him. He shifted, enjoying the leisurely movements, a smile coming to his face. Perhaps he'd become too obsessed. It might be good to take a small break here. All at once, the stress of being yelled at faded away, and Razor relaxed, falling asleep against the tree, slowly rocking him to sleep. Chapter 26. The second exercise focused on mana skills and eyesight. Lyra studied Randedly's every move carefully. He stood within an extremely large mobile, with dozens of small wooden discs numbered 1 through 60 hanging from it. Randedly's task was simple: hit them with his spearing roots, in order, within a certain amount of time. Complications emerged when the mobile began to rotate around him. And further still, the discs themselves spun, sporadically hiding their numbers, as they were only written on one side. He had been supplied with an endless amount of Donnyton's finest mana potion to face the challenge. He wore a determined expression, his roots surging out of the ground. The soft click of wood evidenced his success. Lyra was quite impressed with his progress, though she suspected most of his rapid success was due to the fact he appeared to have memorized where the first 30 or so were. They would need to rearrange them soon. With his eyes narrowed, his mouth firmed into a line, he seemed extremely capable. And Lyra couldn't help but feel a bit of that old longing for his approval, just a simple acknowledgement. Still, it was different now. They were equals, working toward the same goal. They both wanted to defeat the tribulation. Even if the first combined exercise left her frustrated. Lyra couldn't stop thinking about how poorly it had gone earlier. Mrs. Hamilton insisted she keep a steady number of birds at a steady speed to use as a baseline test of his abilities. Ideally, although Randedly would be forced to dodge back and forth and eventually be left out of breath, Mrs. Hamilton could judge the relative importance of training Randedly's mobility. But Lyra quickly found she couldn't do those things. Her birds were slightly misshapen, and the speed they traveled was different, and somehow not related to their random sizes. This combination led Randedly to move toward the slower birds and avoid the fast ones. At times, his movements were rapid, while other times he stepped almost leisurely. It was deeply humiliating to witness him so clearly identifying and targeting her weaknesses, and doubly wounding that Lyra could not figure out what to do about it.
Are you ready for your next training? Mrs. Hamilton asked.
Randedly turned his bright eyes to her. They were enough of an answer. Mrs. Hamilton chuckled, then spared Lyra a brief glance. Lyra stirred her mana through her body, making her own preparations to keep that frosty energy ready.
Mrs. Hamilton turned back to Randedly. You'll have separate assignments for now. Head to the edge of town and join up with Dozer's squad. With the system around, a portion of everything needs to be genuine combat.
Randedly nodded sharply and revealed one of his rare, bloodthirsty smiles before he began to jog to his next challenge. The raw hunger in the expression made Lyra flush. The older woman turned to Lyra.
Would you like to join me for a bit of busy work?
Lyra ducked her head, bit her lip, and nodded. Her fists clenched with shame as she moved back toward the NCCer potion-making building. The only thing consistent about Lyra's performance was that her feet had remained rooted to the same stretch of ground, as though beneath her feet were massive concrete anchors that kept her upright, despite her crumbling exterior and dubious structural integrity.
I might be the best with mana in Donnyton, but doesn't that just mean everyone else is even worse?
Lyra thought miserably. Randidly was engaging in this training with her, finally treating her like she wasn't a burden. But could she really defeat the tribulation like this? Even with help from the other members of Donnyton, could she...
Have you ever mixed potions before?
Mrs. Hamilton asked over her shoulder as she led Lyra into a back room. She waved to other workers in the dimly lit warehouse, who heaved boxes between squat cylinders of ruby and sapphire that amassed to enough potion to fuel Donnyton's needs. But her words were clearly just for Lyra. Lyra managed to shake her head in response. Her parents would have disapproved. One must never admit they are deficient. If it must be done, make it part of a quip, so the listener isn't sure whether your admission is true, or even better, is so taken with your humor that they forget the question altogether. However, Lyra was not her parents. Moving with Mrs. Hamilton to a low metal table, she tried not to think about them now, and whether they would be able to handle monsters crashing through their tasteful front doors.
It's not complicated, and I believe we need to start your training slow. Take a seat. Let me pull down a few things.
Mrs. Hamilton tucked a stray hair behind her ear and bustled over to the shelves on the far wall. Lyra looked around, taking a seat at the table. Her mind folded back to the past, where she pictured Randidly's decisive steps in the combination training exercise.
There were times he was pushed to the limit, but I couldn't follow up because the birds were supposed to move at the same speed. And then suddenly he would cut sideways in a way I didn't predict, and he could just walk.
Thump.
Mrs. Hamilton dropped a heavy box on the table, shocking Lyra out of her reflection. She frowned at the box, and then at Mrs. Hamilton, when she started to remove various equipment.
Why do you put it on shelves? Why not just use an interspatial device?
Mrs. Hamilton split the equipment into two sets and pushed one toward Lyra, her smile a little hollow.
Perhaps it's just superstition, but... I suspect utilizing interspatial devices requires the same vital energy that learning skills and earning stats requires. It's a bit less convenient, but not so much that it's a problem. Anyway, let's start. Glendale can only find so many raid bosses in the surrounding area. I have no doubt Randidly will be finished with his task in an annoyingly short amount of time.
That comment thrust Lyra back into a sour mood. It poisoned her heart through the entire explanation of potion making and her first few attempts to create a health potion. And her initial failures further worsened her mood. Lyra scrunched her face up as she stared down at the red crystal she was grinding to a uniform pattern.
Why am I so stuck on this? Because I'm worried that I won't be able to save Donnyton, or because I'm going to disappoint Randidly? Because if I'm really driving myself crazy over some guy...
How smart are you?
Lyra blinked, turning to look at Mrs. Hamilton, who regarded her speculatively above her own perfectly done health potion. Lyra cleared her throat.
Excuse me? Oh, I didn't mean in a bad way. Just, I have some thoughts about the dodging exercise, and I just need to know how much complexity you can handle.
While Mrs. Hamilton spoke, her hands seemed to move independently of her light smile and interested gaze. Perhaps, without even her whole attention, she could churn out potions. Frowning, Lyra said,
I can handle as much complexity as you need. I can use more birds. No, that's unnecessary,
Mrs. Hamilton said, shaking her head.
Just like he's training, consider this training for you too. Your problem isn't the number of birds, although you could probably give Randidly a much-needed haircut with more. No, you need to think a bit more broadly about who you're attacking and iron out a few kinks in your mana handling.
Lyra flushed, but she tried to restrain her rising sense of stubbornness and pride. After all, Mrs. Hamilton was right.
What do you mean? Randidly would still be strong just by increasing his stats to the point his skill levels don't matter. Or he could even get a class and rapidly gain levels. But do you know why he doesn't do that?
Inwardly, Lyra was torn between feeling annoyed and feeling intrigued. While she continued, the older woman's hands smoothly generated another potion. She'd always known Mrs. Hamilton expertly handled the NCC village and basically managed housing, production, potion making, food, and clothing distribution. It had always struck Lyra as slightly dull, but now, as Mrs. Hamilton coldly looked her in the eye, a small smile tugging at the corners of her lips, Lyra abruptly remembered that Randidly had given this woman a very sinister-sounding soul skill. Lyra suppressed her annoyance, and like any good actor, allowed the emotion the audience wanted to see come to the surface.
Because Irandedly's unassuming face hides a perfectionist. He wants every advantage he can have. Yes, in a way.
He takes the extremely long view of the system and its levels, perhaps to his detriment.
Based on his actions, he seems to think that an impending crisis beyond our capability is just beyond the horizon.
Pausing, Mrs. Hamilton tapped her finger on the metal table. The noise was oddly resonant in the small room. Lyra took the opportunity to grind her own crystal a little more vigorously and then mix it with water. Congratulations, you have created an inferior potion level 3. Congratulations, you have learned the skill, potion making level 1.
Considering the track record of his predictions, I'm worried about the future of Donnyton. Right now, no one can replace him. Anyways, let's not dwell too long.
Mrs. Hamilton ceased tapping the table.
The reason Randedly can dodge so well is because when you attack with the birds, you're only moving two or three at the same time. The rest just drift in a direction. I suggest instead of fixating on Randedly, you work on making several smaller units of bird and just move them around. Namely, 3 rings of 4 birds moving in a circle. Go on, try it.
Lyra paused in her potion making and summoned her mana. 9 birds fluttered to life. Lyra did her best not to fixate on the small deformities of each and urged them to take flight. The glowing blue bodies settled into groups and began to fly around the high-ceilinged workshop in shaky patterns. She furrowed her brow and focused on the movements, steadily improving.
I can control them like this, but will this really help me catch Randedly?
Alana sat with her legs folded beneath her, contemplating. It was a simple thing, but it was a question that tortured her endlessly. Should she get her very rare-sounding class, or should she continue to train? It was now widespread knowledge that a certain amount of skill levels, quite a bit over 400, without getting a class, would lead to a strange NCC sickness. The ghost hound made some cryptic comments to her the previous night that seemed to indicate she didn't have to worry about this issue and could continue to train for as long as she wished. Based on what she could tease out of his statements and other explanations of the problem, her connection to him might provide her with the protection she needed. Of the other 3 who received the blessing, Annie continued to train without a class. Sam obtained his class immediately, delighting in the new skills he received that would boost his crafting efficiency. Mrs. Hamilton would only smile sweetly when asked, refusing to answer. Their answers were very demonstrative of their personalities, but Alana was at a loss. Was seeking the strength of the class a mistake? Every 10 levels, the classers would receive an extremely powerful class skill. Alana heard rumors about how Declan's killer instincts, Donnie's righteous bonds, and Dozer's troll constitution made all the difference in the fight against the ghost hound. Although 2 of them were passive skills, and Donnie's was defensive, they were profoundly apparent in battle. They assured her, however, that there was no rush. It was just incredibly frustrating to be weaker than them, and it was only because they had access to levels. Alana looked at her stats. Alana Donal, class, --, level, not available, health, 192 out of 192, regeneration per hour, 83, mana, 74 out of 74, regeneration per hour, 21, stamina, 103 out of 127, regeneration per minute, 26, vitality, 21, endurance, 19, strength, 24, agility, 23, perception, 32, reaction, 35, resistance, 15, willpower, 13, intelligence, 22, wisdom, 11, control, 6, focus, 6. Skills. Blessing of the Distant Southern Mountains, level 49. Ferocity, level 19. Running, level 23. Physical fitness, level 20. Spear of the Broken Ridge Mastery, level 6. First aid, level 12. Leap, level 29. Animal skinning, level 19. Hunting, level 17. Sunstrike, level 9. Fighting proficiency, level 20. Hawkeye, level 14. Block, level 19. Heavy blow, level 32. Herculean strength, level 14. Spear deflect, level 12. Sweep, level 20. Monobolt, level 16. Battle Cry, level 16. Dodge, level 14. Hot-Blooded, level 8. Child of the Sun, level 5. She'd focused on increasing her physical support stats, which she believed was the best path to power. Although her max speed wasn't as high as most other people who chose to put points in agility, her perception and reaction gave her enough of an edge that she could spar with classers without making a fool of herself. Still, she had to acknowledge it was profoundly frustrating that the real reason she was having such success against the classers was due to the bonuses of her soul skill and the oppressive power of Sunstrike. Whereas Thrust had been useful for keeping a careless opponent on their toes, Sunstrike possessed enough raw damage output, especially during the day, to knock an opponent who wasn't ready on their ass. Feeling slightly foolish, Alana decided to consult with Daniel or Mrs. Hamilton before she made her decision. Perhaps there was something she wasn't thinking of. Truthfully, in her heart, she wanted to consult with the Ghost Hound, but it would be extremely shameful after he gave her this gift to run back to him asking how to use it, wouldn't it? Razor Fleetfoot stretched and yawned, feeling slightly sore in his neck, but otherwise profoundly relaxed. It had been a good idea to take a nap, he assured himself. Now that he'd shaken his jitters, he could find someone in charge of this village and finish his mission. But the more he thought about it, the more droopy-eared he became. After all, if it had been easy to do, why hadn't he been able to do it already? Most of these hairless creatures just ignored him, even though he looked so different from them.
"What sort of strange village is this?"
Razor muttered. He was profoundly shocked when someone responded.
"That's mighty presumptuous talk for a giant bunny rabbit."
"Presumptuous, Nathan."
A little girl with ash smeared on her cheeks corrected the little boy next to her. The boy folded his arms, annoyed. The little girl turned back to Razor and smiled.
"So, Mr. Rabbit, what are you?"
It's Fleetfoot. Razor Fleetfoot."
Razor extended his paw, feeling profoundly silly for introducing himself to a little girl, but he was just so pleased someone finally acknowledged him. To his further surprise, the girl grasped his paw and shook it firmly.
"I am Kirsty, Priestess of Arbor. Would you like to come see something pretty with us?"
Razor opened his mouth to say no, then hesitated. After all, what could it hurt? At the very least, these children were probably raised by someone who could point him in the right direction. Night fell over Donnyton, the clouds drawn across the sunset. Almost like the sun felt a bit shy. Randidly wiped the sweat from his brow and blew the contents of his lungs out until his diaphragm was completely compressed. Then he sucked in another breath, savoring the sensation. Just as Randidly raised his spear to strike, a voice spoke out of the shadows of the clearing.
"Aren't we supposed to rest at night?"
His hair stood on end. He must be more tired than he thought if he hadn't noticed someone's approach. Lyra's familiar form stepped out of the shadows and into the soft light of the stars. Her tawny hair glimmered as she tilted her head to the side. Randidly forced a smile and produced a towel from his interspatial ring.
"Yeah, technically. But there are some nights, well, if I close my eyes before I'm completely exhausted."
"Do you get the nightmares too?"
Lyra whispered. Randidly gave Lyra a long glance, then nodded. Mentally, he adjusted his opinion of the young woman in front of him. She'd come off as immature and quiet during their first few interactions, but the more they talked, the more Randidly realized that wasn't the real Lyra. And now that they were training together, plus the system scars everyone, the last of Randidly's tension left his body.
"I'm actually glad you're up,"
Lyra continued after their moment of silence, commiserating the state of their fucked up subconsciouses.
"I planned on heading over to visit Elaine at the sanctuary. I know you two had some talks, so if you want to come..."
"Sure."
Randidly released a genuine grin for the first time in a long time. He remembered how gleaming and perfect Elaine seemed that night in the moonlight when Randidly lost his way. He paled and coughed several times.
Maybe I can jump in the river first?"
Lyra snorted. They proceeded to the small riverbank south of Donnyton. Lyra waded within a small grove while Randidly stripped down and dove into the water.
Due to his increased physical stats, the chilly nighttime water brought a rush of clarity and adrenaline. Randedly sloshed back to the shallows, whipping his hair back up over his head, and shook himself dry like a dog. Something glowed within the tree line, and his expression sharpened.
Lyra, careful! There's something in the trees near you!
Immediately, the light vanished. Randedly's skin tingled, and he swore quietly. His mana began to swirl in his body, ready to react to any movement. He shouldn't have let his guard down. Sure, he and Lyra were stronger than the average monster, but if they were ambushed by raid bosses, or the tribulation came personally, they could be harmed.
Lyra?
Randedly called again. He lowered himself, preparing to launch forward and scoop up his interspatial ring on the bank. He cursed himself for taking it off. Whatever was waiting would probably land a few hits before he had his weapon.
Yes?
Lyra's voice squeaked in something close to fear, but she definitely spoke. Still wary of the tribulation disguising itself, Randedly watched the surroundings.
I saw some light coming from around you. Did you see any monsters?
What? No, there's nothing.
Lyra began to cough, then cleared her throat and walked out from between the trees with her hands clasped behind her back, eyes to the ground.
I was just practicing with mana. That's probably what you saw.
Oh.
Randedly's suspicions gradually faded away, taking in her posture. This was the timid and shy Lyra he knew. Either the tribulation had subdued Lyra in a split second and became a much better actor, or he just alarmed her with his sudden yell. Randedly shook his head and tried to change the subject as he pulled a shirt over his torso.
Elaine is part of the reason we've started talking more, you know? Before she went to Turtletown, she asked me to look after you.
Haven't we done this before?
Lyra finally looked up.
Let's not do this again.
She wanted to make sure you were safe,
Randedly said with a hesitant smile.
Uh-huh.
Lyra's response was cool, and she pivoted on her heel, stalking through the forest. Randedly sensed she was angry at him, but wasn't sure what he'd done. Maybe it was just because he scared her? The journey west to Turtletown Sanctuary occurred without any talking. Randedly did his best to make conversation about the training, but Lyra shut it down. He suspected it was somewhat due to the fact he had been able to overcome her mana birds earlier. Due to their capabilities, they easily avoided the patrols around the sanctuary. Randedly frowned when he saw the small, primitive village beneath the waterfall, following Lyra toward a house with a lit candle in the window. Once they made it onto the path proper, Lyra confidently walked up and rapped her knuckles against the door.
Who is it?
Elaine's voice drifted out, causing Randedly's breath to catch in his chest. Her words seemed to resonate with the air, thrumming with life. Lyra pushed open the door and froze, her figure blocking Randedly from seeing what she was seeing.
Elaine, what the hell happened?
Randedly's heart dropped, and he bounded forward, gripping the wooden doorframe to stop himself from bowling Lyra over. Within was a wan Elaine, laying on a bed. Even in the warm candlelight, there was a strange paleness to her skin. An older woman with a half-full potion turned around and cast a suspicious glare on the new arrivals.
And you are?
The old woman asked. Elaine coughed and sat up.
Friends. Lyra, Randedly, it's good to see you. Come on in. I'm sorry I can't get up to greet you.
Don't worry about it.
Lyra's eyes were full of sadness for Elaine. The old woman sniffed as Lyra and Randedly moved into the room and left without a word. After floundering for several seconds, Randedly produced a health potion and offered it to Elaine. She shook her head.
No, those won't help. It's not really a health thing. I've just been a bit overmatched by the work I'm assigned.
Randedly's hands tightened into fists.
They shouldn't be working you to the bone like this.
Lyra kneeled down next to Elaine's bed. She laid her fingers across the older woman's arm.
If you need help leaving?
We'll handle the guards, Randedly said darkly, the ghost hound stirring in his chest.
But his anger was instantly doused against the raw hostility in Elaine's expression.
Do you really think violence is the answer?
Disgust oozed from her voice.
No, I'm perfectly fine here in the sanctuary. You might be able to survive in such a world, but I would die. I might be tired at the end of the day, but this sort of life suits me.
How?
Randedly gulped, feeling embarrassed to be fixed with that sort of glare from Elaine. Her words reminded him so much of Tessa.
as long as he could make her understand his point. How can you say it suits you when you end up like this? If you don't have enough vitality, you won't recover by the morning. At least take a few days' break and gain some skill levels. Lyra sighed and leaned back from Elaine with a complicated expression.
I'm guessing it's not that she doesn't have the free stat points. You just haven't used them, right, Elaine?
You haven't used your free stats? Randley gaped. Elaine sniffed and took a drink of water.
I'm glad someone gets it. Yes, I'm falling behind in my work here, but I get to make that choice. That's the value of the sanctuary. It's a place where the individual is left with the final decision.
You can still have the final decision outside, Randley frowned, so long as you
have power? A bigger stick than the person in front of you? No. For people like you, that might be enough, but I don't want that life. And if you insist on bringing it up again, I'll need to ask you to leave.
Elaine said. Although she remained trembling and weak in the bed, there was a strange sort of iron in her voice. People like me? Randley said, his mind beginning to whirl. Lyra raised her hand.
Let's take a step back. I know Randley can be a bit blunt, but he just saw you injured and immediately wanted to rely on bravado to fix it for me.
Elaine said sourly and shook her head.
No, I've had too many foolhardy men try the same. I'm suddenly quite tired. You can see my state. I think it's best that both of you leave. And Lyra, probably don't come back. The sanctuary should be sacred.
But I, Randley began, but Elaine gave him another glare and he choked off the words. I thought we were friends.
Friends?
Elaine's arched eyebrow made Randley blush. Hot shame dripped down and collected in his gut.
You were just some guy who could keep an eye on Lyra. There was nothing else between us.
Randley's mouth snapped shut. After a few moments of awkward silence, both he and Lyra shuffled out. Others in basic cotton clothes watched them as they left Elaine's home. But Randley didn't pay attention to them. He ran into the forest, pumping his arms and legs. As long as his heart pounded and the exertion burned through his body, he didn't need to think about the sudden rejection. He wouldn't dwell on her beautiful singing voice in that clearing under the moonlight. He wouldn't recall how she softly showed the way that the chaotic system could also be lovely. And suddenly I'm just some guy relying on violence, Randley gritted his teeth. I was just trying to fucking help you. Randley might have kept running, but he soon passed through the low, tree-covered hills and reached the edge of the Badlands. His bare feet stumbled to a stop, the sand around his toes still warm from the day's sunlight. For several seconds he breathed, trying to get a grip on his spinning emotions.
Man, you're fucking fast when you want to be.
Randley turned slightly to see a wheezing Lyra stumbling up to him. She plopped down on the sand and leaned back to look up. The clouds covered most of the stars.
Eventually, Lyra spoke. Sorry about that. That she didn't give you a chance to explain. That sanctuary place? I don't know. There's something about it that bothers me.
Randley pressed his lips together, flushed with too many emotions. If he opened his mouth, he wasn't sure what he would say.
But they get to choose to be idiots, I guess.
Lyra continued timidly. She stood, swayed slightly, and patted Randley on the shoulder. He tilted his head to the side, and Lyra blushed furiously.
Well, you sort of had a crush on Elaine, right? She certainly, well, even if it was just a crush, she rejected you pretty harshly, so I wanted to comfort you a bit.
I, Randley began, but just wheezed out a hot breath, shaking his head several times, trying to cool off. If they had been back at the river again, he probably would have jumped into the water. Okay, maybe I had a little crush, but it... A memory came unbidden to Randley. Of him, Ace, and Sydney sitting at the table. From before Ace and Sydney were officially dating. Before tension crept into their triangle.
You have a crush on Tessa?
Ace used his whole arm to point at Randley.
Confess! Well, yeah, kinda,
Randley flushed. Ace put his hands on his hips and laughed for several seconds, announcing to the surrounding cafeteria that he knew it. Sydney just watched randomly with a small smile.
Then you don't like her,
Sydney finally said when Ace ran out of steam.
Randomly, I've known you for a long time. For better or worse, the people you can admit to having a crush on feel pretty and safe to you. It's how you avoid getting hurt.
This time, Ace pointed towards Sydney.
Do you have any evidence?
Sydney tossed her hair over her shoulder and spoke in a joking tone.
I mean, after all these years, he still hasn't admitted his feelings for me.
In light of these new developments,
Ace rubbed his chin dramatically and then slapped the table.
I find the defendant, Mr. Ghost Hound, guilty on all counts. He is sentenced to 3 years of an unhappy relationship.
Randomly licked his lips.
Even now, both Ace and Sydney were right.
His shoulders sagged.
Yeah, maybe I had a crush on Elaine. But it was just an infatuation, I think. It definitely hurts, but...
But you won't use it as an excuse during training tomorrow, right?
Lyra grinned.
Mrs. Hamilton has me making potions. You won't know what hit you.
Randomly rolled his eyes.
No, I won't skip. Can you imagine the frown Mrs. Hamilton would deploy against me? Anyway, let's get back. And Lyra? Thanks.
You're welcome,
Lyra said.
After all, aren't we a team?
Chapter 27
Randomly jerked his head backward as an ugly mana bird zipped past his nose. From the tortured expression on his face, Lyra knew how much he struggled to cope with her increased control. She tried to keep her expression even, but it was rather difficult. Watching him struggle was quite a novel experience.
I think that's enough for today,
Mrs. Hamilton said lightly, smiling at them both. Randomly collapsed to his knees, sweat dripping off his face, which was very pleasing to Lyra, though she herself had her hands tightly grasped behind her back, suppressing the trembling in her fingers. She'd overdrawn herself by a small amount, keeping control of the circles of birds long enough to exhaust Randomly. Lyra would rather tremble for a while than let him win this contest. There wasn't really a contest. With an annoyed motion, Randomly shucked off the weighted vest and collapsed on the ground, his chest heaving. It wasn't until Mrs. Hamilton spoke again that Lyra realized she'd been staring at his naked chest, mesmerized, for almost 10 seconds.
Why was it easier for her to control the birds than it was for you to dodge them?
Randomly was silent for a long time. He sat up, scratching his head, his hair messy and sweaty. It was in moments like these Lyra felt those old pangs in her heart, struck by how beautiful his green eyes were. Subconsciously, she activated eyes of wonder and witnessed his depleted stores of stamina moving sluggishly through his chest. He frowned, seriously considering the question.
I would have said skill level, but she was so bad at it to begin with. I guess using the circles helped, only I'm not sure how it works.
Lyra's eyelid twitched at how bluntly he said she'd been bad previously.
Mrs. Hamilton laughed.
Yes, that plan gave her an advantage. The reason why is simple. Part of what she was doing was routine, whereas your movement technique is the most sophisticated I have ever seen. It's like manually doing simple addition rather than multiplying. You need to think more systematically about the moves you're making with your feet, and then figure out how to use them efficiently.
Randomly focused on the ground, his brow knotting even further.
Lyra, practice the other subroutines I taught you. We will continue with the other two exercises tomorrow, as they require a bit more preparation. I believe with what I saw today, it will be ready promptly in the morning.
With that, she left, leaving the two tired individuals to mull over their own inadequacy. Lyra opened her mouth, ready to speak, but to her surprise, Randomly beat her to it.
We can do this, he said, his green eyes bright, even in the dying light. Most other people I've met have been able to improve, but you're the only one who scares me. If you can keep improving in spurts like this, it won't be long until you catch up to me.
Lyra couldn't decide how to respond for several seconds.
You really don't need to thank me. I'm not just going to watch while the tribulation attacks Donnington. How about we make a bet? Each day we'll compete in the exercises. The winner gets to ask a question that the loser needs to answer with complete honesty.
Randomly chuckled, as if he knew she was deriving benefit from it too, but just nodded.
She watched as the gold-red stamina began to rapidly build back up in his chest. He tilted his head to the side.
So, what's your question?
It's just...
Lyra hesitated. Randidly was so strange to her. He didn't fit into any of the easy-to-understand types of people she'd dealt with in her entire life. The fans, the superior folk, the flatterers. He was just profoundly contained within himself. And that made her, even now, curious.
What do you want from all this? From growing powerful with the system? If you defeat all the tribulations, what will you do?
Leaning back against the ground, Randidly looked at the sky. He was silent so long, Lyra was beginning to believe he'd forgotten her question. But he finally answered, breaking the dusky silence.
I don't really know. Since the system came, I've wanted a lot of things. First it was to survive, then it was to find my friends. I've survived, and I've realized how empty I feel to have only survived. My friends, all of my connections to my past life. He winced slightly. Well, I don't think I can do much for them right now. Especially when there is so much that needs to be done right here.
Lyra watched the changes within his body with eyes of wonder as he spoke. That familiar red-violet energy began to circulate through him. She likely wouldn't have noticed it if she hadn't already been observing him. The red-violet energy distinctly quickened the regeneration speed of his stamina.
How is that possible?
Congratulations, your skill Eyes of Wonder has grown to level 29.
Now I've taken time to help nurture this village. At the end of the challenge against Donnington's squads, as I stood there, prepared to use that skill, I knew in my heart I could wipe it all away, burn everything clean.
Lyra kept her gaze locked on him, agreeing he possessed that power, if he was willing to sacrifice everything.
And I didn't want that.
Here he paused, pushing back his drying hair, and turned to look at her.
I guess I want this to continue. I want this town to grow, because in a way it was a seed I planted. And to protect it, his eyes narrowed, I'll push myself into the ground.
Even as he stood, his movements were purposeful. Randidly slipped the vest back on and began to move slowly, using his strange movement technique in small bursts. Lyra retreated with a blink, reforming her body some distance away, and watched him with her eyes of wonder. That brilliant emerald aura surged, a shell around a red-violet core. She noted how he constantly used his skill to control nearby roots, working mana the entire time during the exercises. His steps became increasingly slow, then fast, back to slow. She could just make out his small frown. As she watched, in the middle of his chest, it was like a door opened, and thin tendrils of violet energy slid outwards, running through him. Lyra leaned back on her heels, realizing he was using it to accelerate his growth. Not consciously yet, but if he could learn how. Briefly, she considered telling him about her own dangerous experiences with it, and doing her best to teach him. Except her previous attempts demonstrated pretty clearly that wasn't her role. Her skill set did not include teaching a person like him. Perhaps it was more that he wasn't teachable in that way, she consoled herself. He was stubborn, almost obsessive, and weirdly implacable. There was a growing vicious streak in him. All one could do was set obstacles in his way and watch him struggle to overcome them, learning the hard way. Maybe that was what she liked about him, about how he insisted on doing everything the most difficult way, even when there were simpler answers available. Lyra turned her attention inwards and brought out the complicated diagrams Mrs. Hamilton prepared for her earlier. To be a good obstacle herself, it was time to start her homework. Razor gaped at the strange scene in front of him. A tall, slender tree stood in the center of a clearing, surrounded by a small path, its leaves burning. Around it, dozens of people, mostly children among quite a few adults, were engaged in a weird dance. After viewing the scene for several seconds, Razor had to admit it appeared the tree itself was dancing, and everyone else imitated it.
What?
He said almost instinctually, and the little girl that led him here released a tinkling laugh.
This is Arbor. Come on, I'll introduce you.
To Razor's shock, he was brought up to the tree and asked to introduce himself. The tree seemed to listen and extended its branch towards him, as if to shake his hand. Nonplussed, Razor obliged, finding the bark of the tree oddly warm and comforting, although he did earn a hand covered in greasy ash for his troubles. The dancing continued for a while longer. Then people began to leave, as if their ritual were over. Razor was somewhat mystified, but this at least was something the elders had prepared him for. Some foreign cultures had extremely strange or primitive religious beliefs, and the elders urged him to exercise the utmost respect, should he encounter any. Although Razor didn't believe the elders thought he would have to spend quite so much time over here experiencing the culture before he would find someone in charge. He tried to approach a few people during the tree dance, but most shushed him and continued their sway. Helpless, he remained with the two children. When everyone departed, and it was only the three of them before the wiggling tree, the girl again turned to him. With such poise and grace, Razor was slightly shocked. Her eyes burned brightly, lit by the flaming leaves above her. Perhaps these people appeared younger than they actually were.
Thank you for your patience. What is it you came here for? If it's within my power, I will give it to you.
Razor almost blushed. Was his impatience so obvious? It was slightly disturbing this little girl saw right through him.
I simply wish to talk to the elders of this village, to discuss our future relationship. If possible, I was supposed to bring a group back to our village for a show of goodwill.
The girl considered this for a moment, then nodded.
I believe I can help, but it must wait until tomorrow.
Razor's
long ears sagged a little from his disappointment.
It's bedtime soon,
the boy added, and stuck his hand out to Razor.
I'm Nathan. This is Kirsty. We really want to help you, Mr. Bunny Rabbit, but our mom will be angry if we aren't in bed soon. Okay.
You're probably tired too, right?
Kirsty said brightly, her eyes glittering.
Why not come and stay with us?
Razor wasn't sure how he wanted to answer. Either that he'd already napped away most of the day, or to point out that it was strange to accept such an offer from children. But he wasn't given the chance. They grabbed his arms and dragged him forward. Before 15 minutes had passed, he'd been whisked into a house, into a dark room, and wrapped in a large blanket, sleeping on the floor between Nathan and Kirsty's beds. Honestly, it was surprisingly comfortable. Razor wasn't sure where these creatures found the material for their blankets, but he fervently made a mental note to figure it out. After he was starting to doze, in spite of his already sleep-filled day, the door opened slightly.
Nathan, Kirsty, you both here?
Yes, Mom,
they chorused, and the door started to close. But then Kirsty spoke again.
Mom, is it okay for Mr. Bunny Rabbit to sleep over? He's from another world and has no place to stay.
Mr. Bunny Rabbit, eh? Won't his mother worry?
I think he was sent here on purpose,
Kirsty said.
He's an ambassador, Nathan added.
Oh, indeed.
The woman outside the door now spoke with a very amused tone.
Well then, make sure he gets his sleep too. Good night, Mr. Bunny Rabbit.
Razor opened his mouth to answer, but a hand clamped over it. He turned to find Kirsty giving him a disapproving frown. The door closed all the way, and only after the departing footsteps traveled a fair distance away did Kirsty speak.
She doesn't know you're actually here. She thinks you're imaginary. Why were you going to speak up? Don't you have mommies where you come from?
Razor Fleetfoot shrugged, embarrassed under Kirsty's withering stare. Honestly, what sort of place was this village? Chapter 28. Ezzy wiped the sweat from his brow and looked into the valley below, relieved.
Finally.
Missy's orders were very specific. Give the convoy a few days to get a head start, then follow behind to discover the location of Donnyton. Once he found it, sniff out the situation, make contact with any seedier elements he could find, and gather as much information as possible. Specifically, she wanted to know how common individuals like Randedly Ghosthound and Alana Donal were in Donnyton. At the very least, he needed to figure out what sort of fighting strength they could field.
as he looked down at his side. The wound had healed, but the fear lingered. If I didn't have my dangerous sense skill. Almost immediately after Ezzy left, he encountered problems. First, the convoy moved quicker than he expected. By the time he started following, the trail had gone cold, and monsters moved to cover the highway. Secondly, when he passed the no man's land between Franksburg and Donnington, he'd been ambushed by a ragtag group of humans. Only because of his skill did he avoid the man who dropped from the tree and stabbed at him with a rusty machete. In the end, the weapon left a deep gash across his side, and he was forced to kill the individuals who rushed out to follow up on him. Worst of all, their clothes and equipment were in such poor condition, he'd gained nothing from the encounter. He went back to their ramshackle treehouse and found nothing but bones and rotting meat there. The whole experience left him chilled to his core. As he continued north, he began to find his sense of comfort. It wasn't long after he encountered a group from another village, which he assumed to be Turtletown. He did his best to clean up his messy attire and approach, but who would have thought their patrol would raise ancient-looking rifles and open fire? Shit, the system made us strong, but I'm not fucking Superman. As he wove between the trees while bullets blasted holes in the bark around him. Only when he'd run for about half a kilometer and felt safe enough to catch his breath did he realize the patrol had only targeted the trees around him. For the second time on the journey, as he felt the chill. Not only do they have the weapons to slaughter me, they even have the confidence to fire warning shots. Then again, perhaps it was less confidence on the part of Turtletown and more an acknowledgement of their neighbor. If they casually shot out a group from Donnington, would the first newbie village really have no reaction? Ezzy wisely adjusted his route, and finally, he made it to the valley of Donnington. Now I just need a way to approach without being noticed, Ezzy muttered. Scanning the mountainside for paths down to the edge of town, he noticed orange flickering light on one of the nearby ridges. After hesitating for a bit, he decided to risk investigating the illumination. To his surprise, the source of the light wasn't a campfire. Instead, Ezzy saw a small sapling tree standing at the edge of the ridge. Its leaves blazed with flames, but they didn't burn. He watched for 5 minutes, unable to figure out what he was seeing. Is this some sort of monster? Or a magical defensive fortification of Donnington? Why? Ezzy's thought came to a screeching halt. Because although the night air was completely still, the branches of the tree began to sway. With sickening slowness, that trunk began to twist. Beneath the fickle light of the leaves, Ezzy could make out the distorted and evil face in the bark. Fuck! A haunted tree! Ezzy scrambled backward. His blood roared through his ears, his face pale as he whipped around and sprinted across the ridge in the dark. His foot caught on a root and he fell, smashing his head on a rock and knocking himself out. Randidly's toes twisted in the dirt as he shifted his weight. He stepped forward with a light bound, crossing several meters. Better, but not quite, Randidly thought to himself. He returned to his original position and raised his spear. He lowered his center of gravity and pulsed up and down with all of his weight on the balls of his feet. His calf muscles protested, but he didn't stop. Only when he thoroughly exhausted himself in the manner he learned from Shawl did Randidly try again, jumping across the clearing. All night, Randidly tirelessly practiced the movements of Spear Phantom's footwork, thinking about Mrs. Hamilton's words. He pushed his muscles to their limits. The system made bodies naturally more powerful with stats, but that didn't mean he could stop honing himself. He let the moves flow, moving back and forth across the ground, letting the steps spiral endlessly forward. The lack of skill level notifications bothered him at first, but he soon grew used to it. He could simply savor the sensation of activating the skills. It really was an incredibly profound way of moving, focused on small, delicate steps that seemed incredibly light but contained a large amount of power. An opponent could be repeatedly surprised by the large steps that did nothing and the small steps that instantly crossed several meters. Randidly realized it wasn't exactly an efficient way of moving in terms of distance. His sprinting speed, even with just a sideways leap, was much higher than what he could manage with Spear Phantom's footwork. Instead, the footwork enabled him to end up in a range of different, though close to each other, places, depending on how he chose to apply the delicate power in the steps. With a direction in mind, Randidly plotted out the 10 steps that made up the footwork. First, without using the explosive power of his legs, then again with the power. He was slightly awed by the 1 meter difference in where he ended up. 1 meter might be a rather small distance compared to mountains. Even compared to spears, he found it lacking. In terms of the distance it took to kill an opponent, it was more than enough. Pausing, Randidly considered how to move forward. Mrs. Hamilton and Lyra had taught him something important. The most powerful reaction wasn't always the best one in every situation. Sometimes a standard and well-practiced response was the most appropriate. Previously, he'd executed the motions with the power, quickly burning through his stamina pool. With his continued denial of using the system screens, Randidly wasn't sure how much stamina he was using with his moves. Based purely on the feeling in his chest, it was decidedly smaller. Only a thin, warm thread of stamina was required to execute the steps without the energy. With such a small amount, he could practice like this almost endlessly. But this wasn't the goal. It was to intermix his steps, sometimes using the delicate power, other times not, confusing an opponent. A spear phantom did not value the highest speed it could use to travel a distance. It valued near-infinite mobility in close combat. That, then, would be Randidly's goal. Systematically, just like Mrs. Hamilton recommended, he practiced giving himself a deep familiarity with the 10 moves. Although he utilized them mindlessly before, driven on by Shawl's threat of violence, he hadn't really thought about them. After he left the dungeon, he continued to train them in the order taught to him by Shawl, never really experimenting. Now they were toys. They were puzzle pieces which formed a base. They were steps leading him up towards a higher level. And in his heart, Randidly still wondered what he was doing, what he was looking forward to. But it was fun. This path was his own, and he would walk it to the end. More than anything, he craved the knowledge of what waited at the end of his path. And he would work himself into the ground in order to be strong enough to triumph over whatever he found there. Almost against her will, as if being driven forward by someone else, Reyna woke up once more at the crack of dawn and traversed the mountain path, returning to the outlook over Donnyton. It really was a beautiful view, and a strategic one. She suspected, in the future, they would establish a base of sorts up here, or at least a watchtower. It gave a great view of the important areas of the town, and also of the different avenues monsters could attack from. The only blind spot was to the north, near the quarry, due to the curve of the mountain. But it was still enough of a view to warn of something large heading their way. Taking advantage of the rising light, she pulled out her notebook and took up where she left off yesterday, adding detail and contour to the valley. It wasn't big yet, though Reyna had a hunch this town would experience explosive growth soon. This was still the area from which the only visible pillars of light emerged. And now Franksburg's pillar lay beyond them, acting as a beacon for those too fearful of the changes the system brought to head this way the first time. Now that they understood the system appeared to be here to stay? Reyna slapped her cheeks, banishing the thoughts. She began to hum as she drew, losing herself in the soft, slow lines of the valley she now stayed in. Perhaps someday it would even be the valley she called home. Tykes stilled, a strange noise reaching his ears. As soon as he heard it, the wind blew, covering up any hint of the sound. But Tykes was a patient man. He learned to wait quietly all his life. So he waited, standing in the forest clearing, holding his iron ball high, looking like a pitcher standing at a baseball mound. The wind continued to blow. Tykes started to sweat. His willpower was firm, and he refused to give in to weakness. He'd learned a valuable lesson 2 days ago, standing before the ghost hound, witnessing the almost unfathomable depths of strength that a human, a man who'd been just as normal as him a month ago, could reach. It was sobering. And it set Tykes's world on fire. If he could grasp that strength. The wind continued unabated, the brush and trees rustling incessantly. Tykes's arm was beginning to tremble from the strain of holding the cast iron ball aloft. he really needed to talk to someone about getting a lighter model made. In his heart, Tykes knew he wouldn't, because the same weight made it necessary for him to constantly train to hold it, raising his Herculean strength skill. It also meant he would hit the opponent that much harder. Unable to keep up with the strain, Tykes let the ball fall to the ground with a crash. The forest floor would have one more crater, Tykes thought gloomily. The forest stilled around him, the pesky wind finally gone. Without the incessant noise, he could hear it, just barely, a soft humming. A scrap of a melody. Still, it was more than enough to fill Tykes with a breathtaking longing. It reminded him of an old home, the warm smile of his mother, the hot oatmeal he ate every day as a child. It reminded him of free and easy laughter. Leaving the metal ball and its new hole in the ground, Tykes moved deeper into the forest, creeping through the trees, treading his way slowly up the slope. And as he did so, the humming became louder. In a way, the volume didn't change, but it seemed as if the tune itself pervaded the entire forest. Every leaf, branch, and bush buzzed with the music. It pulled him, almost stumbling, up the hill towards the source. As he neared, it seemed as though it became quieter, as if the forest stopped carrying the tune across the distance to him. The voice was a little rougher, but the pitch was still impeccable. Tykes stumbled through a large thorn bush, cursing quietly to himself, and froze. The noise stopped. Looking up, the rising sun shining through the trees, the sloping ground, and Donnyton lying below filled his sight. He briefly took in a notebook and a pencil before settling on the humming woman, who stared back with a shocked expression.
She was beautiful, Tykes muttered.
While randomly used repetition to memorize the distances each of the 20 different steps covered, 10 powered and 10 unpowered, he did not halt his training in mana skills. For the first several hours, he worked on root manipulation and summon pestilence. He chose these two because of the profound control required to utilize them correctly.
We haven't done it yet, but I don't believe for a second that Mrs. Hamilton won't use Lyra's ability to make things more difficult for me, Randley thought rather sourly. Not that she's wrong. Lyra, well, she's capable. And from her interactions with the people of Turtletown, she's more of an adult than I realized at first. Maybe it really will be okay to leave her to handle the issue of the tribulation with the rest of Donnyton.
Still, he had some time before the deadline given by Shaw came. Between now and then, the most important thing was to improve.